Deuteronomy chapter 21, we will be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we'll read the whole chapter. We'll begin in verse 1. Deuteronomy 21, verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. If anyone is found slain, lying in the field and land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. And it shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer, which has not been worked and which has not pulled with a yoke. The elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown. And they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him, and to bless in the name of the Lord by their word. Every controversy and every assault shall be settled. And all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. An atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. When you go out to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God delivers them into your hand, and you take them captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, and would take her for your wife, then you shall bring her home to your house, and she shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall put off the clothes of her captivity, remain in your house, and mourn her father and her mother a full month. After that you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. And it shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you shall set her free. But you certainly shall not sell her for money. You shall not treat her brutally, because you have humbled her. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons, that he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gates of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Those are the words of the Lord. This chapter, chapter 21, begins with what should be done when someone is found killed or murdered through verse 9, that atonement is to be made in order to put away the guilt of innocent blood from among Israel. There's two places in Scripture that similar language is used in those first 9 verses of the guilt, of the washing of hands of innocence. One is Pontius Pilate concerning Jesus Christ, which isn't the same application here, but it's similar in nature as he washed his hands of the whole situation. And then also Psalm 26, verse 6, which says, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. And as we know, atonement only is effectual for those who believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verses 10 through 14, there's preserving the honor of a captive bride. Verses 15 to 17 sets the principle of giving a double portion inheritance to the true firstborn. And then through verse 21 is the punishing and judging of the rebellious son who will not obey, so that Israel would put away all evil. And that should be a warning to all children here. Not to be disobedient to your parents, and not to be such, because that leads to something, and that leads to what is pointed to here, death. Eternal. Then the last two verses call us to an honoring of dead bodies of the people of God by burial. Not hanging, and by application, as we see in the rest of Scripture, also not by cremation, but like our Savior, by burial. For those who are cursed, who hang from a tree, and those burned, as we see in the rest of Scripture, are burned in dishonor. And this we, of course, think of Christ, of His death on the cursed tree, and His burial. Christ was cursed for us as He hung on the tree, or was hanged on a tree, and because of our sin, as He hung on the cross. And Jesus was in accordance with this command here, buried the same day. Galatians 3, verse 13, Paul says, quoting our passage, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And in Deuteronomy, the hanged criminal is hung on a tree as a gruesome sign that he is an object of God's curse. And he has been exposed to the wrath of God because of his sin. But when Paul applies this to Christ, he argues that Christ hung upon the tree and turning away God's wrath from his people by redeeming them from the curse of the law. That's what Jesus experienced, was what we deserve. We deserve to be cursed. We deserve to be hanged. We deserve the cross. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by dying on the cross for us. Even though he was without sin, he was perfectly innocent. This is that substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ for his people, offered to each of you, to be applied to each of you, which may be received only by faith alone. And this we know, and this is what we preach. This is the gospel. And let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise today. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the clear warnings here in Deuteronomy 21 about what we deserve, about what our children, often in disobedience, deserve. But for all of us, including our children, we have only one hope in Christ, your Son. And so, Father, make us to have that faith, even that we talked about in Sabbath school. Give us the gift of faith. Give us that faith and work it in us by your Holy Spirit, as you say you do for your people in John 6. Work faith in us, that thereby we might be justified, that thereby we might be adopted into the family of God and be sanctified, and then at the right time glorified, in which we look now, even in hope, for the glorious resurrection of our bodies. Though we might be buried in our bodies, and that those bodies decay, we'll be raised back up again and receive new glorified bodies, because Christ your Son rose from the dead to secure our justification, and to remind us that in union with Him we are already risen. We already have life guaranteed to us in Him. And we think about that even as we struggle, and many of us struggle from this congregation and others, with great sickness. We feel in our bodies often, weakness. Sometimes children do not feel that, and they think they are beyond pain and beyond consequence. A father may be a great warning as they see their own parents, their grandparents, become frail and weak and sick. That we might all be warned of the consequences of the fall. Because you promised to Adam, our first father, that he, if he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would die. He would die physically, he'd die spiritually. And so as we see of our own bodies, weakness, we give you praise for the strength that you provide in our weakness. Your grace is sufficient. We ask that you would be with those who are sick, not feeling well, who have the flu, that is affecting many of our homes and affecting many in Kansas City. Father, we pray for Patty and Jeannie and the Maxwells, that you would heal their bodies. Pray that in this you would also provide a place for prayer meeting this week, and that you would give wisdom concerning that. We pray that you would watch over and care for us. We're thankful for, again, the babies that you are providing who are part of your covenant people, even in the womb. And we're thankful for the baby in Faith's womb. Pray that you would bring him or her about safely. Pray also for Marissa and their baby. And ask for your blessing upon each of them and their families and health. But above all, Father, even for all of our children, we ask that you would give them saving faith at the earliest of ages. Even we know it's possible for you to do, though not ordinary, it's possible for you to do even in the womb, as you did with John the Baptizer. And so, Father, may you do your good work and be merciful to us sinners. Be merciful to us sinners who are parents. We are not good enough. We are not teaching well enough, not leading by example well enough. But Father, you, of course, you're the one who saves. You can overcome our weaknesses and bring your children to salvation. We ask that you'd be with Michelle as she's in Colorado. You would bless her. You would make her feel comfortable, and that she would learn. And today that she would know that she is part of and with your people. And we are even here thinking and praying for her. We ask that you would be with any others who might not be feeling well. You would heal their bodies. Father, we ask that you would grow your church. We ask that you would grow your church throughout the world. And even in this congregation, in the visible church, the kingdom of God on earth. That your gospel would go forth and people would hear and believe unto salvation. That you would use us as instruments to tell people about the gospel. To tell not just about the gospel, but to tell and call people to believe the gospel. And that you would send your Spirit and people would believe. And that's what you promised to do. And use instruments and the foolishness even of preaching to bring this about. Father, may you bless your people today. May you bless the congregation in Columbia and Denison and even the Oklahoma City church plant and others, Father, that are looking for pastors. We pray that you would provide pastors, ministers for them, even for our dear sister Faith, who's here today in Columbia, as they've been so long without a regular minister of the gospel ministering and shepherding them. Father, provide. You are the God who provides. Father, we ask that you would care for our souls. we might be this week and today downtrodden, despairing, downcast, struggling in faith, thinking and dwelling upon our sin so much that it seems that you are not with us. Yet we remember your promises that you are always with us, even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. You are near. And your goodness and your mercy follow us, track us down all the days of our life. So encourage us in your Son, Jesus Christ. May, as we contemplate our sin, turn back to the gospel and turn to your Son, who is our only hope. Or maybe we are too confident and too sure of ourselves. Father, put us in a pit that we would see our sin, that we'd see how horrible and horrendous we are, that we truly need Jesus Christ, and that we would turn to Him from our sin and not keep going on lukewarm, in which you desire to spit us out of your mouth. May that not be. Make us hot or cold, and we pray hot, and that you would make us burning with devotion to you and repentance to you and love for you. And all these things we ask that you would bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name.